Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 9, Day 3 of the Study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us and touch our hearts? Come and fill us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews 12, starting in verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral, or is godless like Esau, for a single meal sold his inheritance as the oldest son. Actually, let's pause right there and go back before the Esau passage. I wanted to stop there. Our author here is giving us some very interesting commands. We're obviously switching gears now, and we're in the wrap-up phase, or we're beginning the wrap-up phase of this epistle. If you've followed along with this podcast, or if you've done study of New Testament books, you know that the end of each epistle in the Bible, there's kind of these almost proverbial moments where you're just kind of rapid fire, getting a whole bunch of little information. We've been dealing with bigger, broader subjects, but now we're kind of down to, okay, here's a whole bunch of little things I'm going to start firing at you as I'm wrapping this up. And that's where we're at right now. That's where we're starting with verse 14. Our author here is telling us, hey, you know, this is real plain. Just live at peace with everyone. You know, make every effort. Now, you know, Paul tells us it's not always up to us. It's not always up to us whether or not we can live at peace with other people. But as far as it's up to you, make every effort, do everything in your power to live at peace with everyone else. And, you know, this, again, it's somewhat proverbial. I mean, it is a command, but it's also somewhat proverbial. It's like you can't always live at peace. And what I mean by proverbial is a proverb is not a promise. A proverb is something that is mostly true most of the time. And so it's not wisdom to say, well, we always have to live at peace no matter what. That's absolutely not what our author is saying. Our author is just saying, do everything in your power. Make every effort to live in peace. And then he throws this on, which is very interesting, and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And this is important. This is an important aspect of this, and if you kind of like tend toward, well, it's just all Jesus' grace, and you know, we don't need to get into all the, you know, behavior modification and all that kind of stuff that people preached in the past, the holiness movement and all that kind of stuff. Our author is bringing all that together here. You know, we've had lots of talk about grace, and yet in the same breath, our author wants to talk about holiness. Holiness is an important aspect of us walking out that grace. And you know, just the raw definition of holiness or holy is set apart. So what our author is calling us to do is live in a way that is set apart, that is obviously different from the lifestyle that people who don't have God in their lives are living. We should look different. Holiness is not trying to be Ned Flanders in The Simpsons. It's not all of these ridiculous things that we may have floating around in our head that, you know, we think is holiness, or we're trying to look the quote unquote holier than thou kind of person. Holiness just means set apart. It means you look obviously different. And we're not just talking about physical appearance. I mean, that may be part of it in certain situations, but we're talking about your lifestyle, the manner of your living. And here we're going to see him kind of define some of those ways we live holy. You know, don't, you know, fall short of the grace and have these bitter roots grow. You know, that's how we fall short of that grace, is when bitterness wells up inside of us. Bitterness is not a characteristic that should be common or should be visible in believers who are full of the grace of God. Bad stuff happens to everyone. If you don't have God or you're not super intentional, you will grow bitter in life. So many older people end up bitter and angry. So many old people end up happy and joyful. And it's really all about what you do with that. And it's not that you have to have God in your life to not end up bitter. But if you just took a poll out there, I think you would find that it's a whole lot easier to not end up bitter if you have God in your life. But when you do end up bitter, it causes trouble. And that bitterness, your bitterness, can actually defile other people. And every single one of you listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. When you're around bitter, people that are just always talking negative, you feel dirty after you're around them for too long. It defiles you. There is something about that negativity that just weighs you down, does something to you. Our author continues on, tells us, make sure that no one and he's kind of talking in a church setting here. Make sure that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau. And let's go back to the sexually immoral part here. That's obvious. Like, cut that out. Like, don't have that in your church. Deal with that. Do what you need to kind of root that out. Counseling, help them, whatever. But that is not holiness. The world is really good at sexual immorality. We should at least look a whole lot different than the world. That doesn't mean that, people aren't going to mess up in a church setting. And it doesn't mean because they've stumbled or messed up that we just kick them out and say, we don't want to see anymore. We deal appropriately with those things, but we don't just sweep it under the rug and say, grace, grace. That's not actually grace. Allowing someone to do something in a habitual way that is going to continually and increasingly destroy their life, that's not grace. And so many people nowadays, they're making space for this in particular, sexual immorality, because it's so rampant in our culture. And it feels like such a losing battle to try and deal with people and convince them to stop being sexually immoral that people are giving up and they're starting to redefine not just marriage and things like that, but the rules in general of what sexual immorality is and isn't. And this is across the board. We see this all over our culture right now. People in the church, pastors and leaders, are trying to redefine what is and isn't sexual immorality in all aspects of human sexuality. And that's because it feels like the only way we can stay relevant is if we redefine that to make it easier for people. And that is not grace. That is damaging to people. That is destructive. Churches that do that are actively and maybe not intentionally, maybe not with malice. I mean, probably not with malice. I mean, I want to be charitable here. I mean, we don't need to come at people and say, you're the devil and that kind of stuff. They're not doing it with malice. They're not doing it to hurt people. But when you redefine that, you are absolutely harming people. You are defiling people. You are leading them down this path like godless Esau. Esau was godless. When we go back and we look at the story in Genesis, we really dig into it. We see what Esau was doing, and he sold his birthright. He gave all this stuff up because he didn't care, because the promises of God didn't matter to him. Esau looks in the Bible like the original atheist. The promises of God given to Abraham mattered nothing to Esau. The promises to Isaac mattered nothing to him. He didn't care. He just didn't care. And so this birthright, what is that worth to me? I don't care. Like, we're not really going to turn into this great nation. All this kind of, that was Esau. Verse 17, afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Do not lead people down the path where they become godless like Esau, where they finally get to that point. Sin will get into our lives and it will destroy us to the point when we no longer care. There are so many effective atheists in our churches today. They may not claim to be atheists, but they live like they ought to be. They live like there is no God who does not stand in judgment over their soul in eternity. They do not live with any sense of propriety or fear on their life. Now remember, I've said this many times, Solomon tells us that fear is the beginning of wisdom. It's not who we're designed to be, is not afraid of God for the rest of our lives. He wants relationship. He wants partnership with us. But we enter into that relationship through fear because we understand who he is and the decision that he makes over our eternity. And when we start to say, it's okay to sin, it's okay to jump into this kind of stuff because grace, you know, whatever. That will cloud our judgment, cloud our vision. And every single person I've ever known who's gone down that path has eventually, some take much longer than others, some come to their senses, but not many, unfortunately. Not many come to their senses. Eventually, most all of them, they turn their backs on the Lord. If they continue on with this, they don't just kind of decide to be nominal Christians and kind of come to church a little bit, and they get off the wagon big time. Unless they come to their senses, which few of them I've seen do. Once you start going down this road seriously, convincing yourself that I can redefine what sin is, I can redefine what sexuality is, I can redefine what godliness is, what holiness is, it's hard to come back from that. And I haven't seen many people do it. I've seen almost no one do it. And so we cannot allow people in our congregational midst to start down that road. Holiness is so important. Making every effort to live in holiness is that important. It's not grace to tell people it's okay that you've got a problem with sin. It's not okay. It will destroy you. God can forgive you, yes. God loves you, yes. God is there for you, yes, but it's not okay. It's not okay. It doesn't mean that God hates you because you struggle with sin. No, he loves you. God wants you to be free from that so it doesn't destroy you, because it will wreck your life and eventually it will cause you, it will so cloud your vision and so destroy your conscience, you will grow like Esau, where you won't even care if there is a God or not. It is so important to understand holiness in light of the grace that's been given to us. We've not been given grace as a license to sin. We've been given grace as the ability to be free from sin. Before we were given God's grace and his redemption, we were incapable of resisting sin. We were incapable. Now, we have the ability. We have the power within us to resist sin, to overcome it. That's what the grace is. That's what the freedom he's given us is. It's not to kind of tiptoe into sin and maybe start redefining it a little bit to make ourselves feel better about it. That grace, that freedom, is to walk away from it. It's to be free from it forever. And we will be free from it forever when we see him face to face. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I do appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes or any other platform that you listen to this on. It really is a great way to let other people know about the podcast. You can also forward it to people, word of mouth, that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that to try and like boost up, whatever. I want people fascinated with God's word. I want people fascinated with his word. I want you reading this 10 times in 10 weeks. I want you diving deep into his word so you will know him more. I want it impacting and changing your life. That's what I'm passionate about. If you share that passion, share this with others. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.